Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
Oh, we tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite whiskey, wine, and local craft beers. Tuesday through Saturday, so swing by and visit them. They've always got great live music going on over there. Also, you can find Stephen Chozich there on Thursday, July 19th. Diesel Island there on July 20th, Friday night. And Cree Rider Family Band, Saturday, July 21st. Full listing of events at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And keep an eye out on August 14th. I'll return out there with my monthly singer-songwriter show. It's every second Tuesday. August 14th, we'll be back with Bobby Stevens, Anna Shanoff, and Matt Wynn. So mark that on the calendar. Again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
The podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Tom Watkins, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Tom Watkins.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is cool. I talk about it a lot on these shows, but like this is a lot of fun for me to when I get to the opportunity like this where we get to meet on the for first time on the microphone. And it's been happening a lot, which is really cool for me as like a fan of St. Louis music, like to continue to discover new stuff, you know, new artists all the time through our city. So, and I've been almost 600 of these and still, you know, all the time discovering new people. Yeah, so it's totally. Like, it's a beautiful thing we have going on here.
Totally. Yeah.
And today was kind of all happened, through some, mutual friends, I guess, Matt Maher put in a good word, and so that helped out for sure. Like, I mean, Matt's become a good friend through doing the show with Four City, and then now with Old Souls Revival. So, mm-hmm. But he said, "Hey, you should check out Tom." So I'm like, "All right, let's hang out."
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, if you're listening.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So, well, yeah, like I said, I'm glad to be here today and get to meet and talk about what you're up to. You said you're gearing up to do an EP here this year and stuff like that. So
yeah,
getting in some new original tunes out there and stuff. But like I said, I don't know much about you. Mm-hmm. This is our first time meeting and things. But let's go back to the beginning, man. Where's Tom get started with music? I mean, you grew up around St. Louis area?
Yeah, grew up in St. Charles. So my earliest memory of music, let me think. My mom was very musical. She's great voice. She always would sing to me when I was a baby and stuff. So that's probably my very earliest memory. Other than that, I taught myself the guitar, and I got the interest from it from my cousin. There was a period of time when I was a teenager where my cousin and my mom. My cousin and her mom, my mom's sister, lived with us, and my cousin was into guitar, and I never had an older brother or anything, so I always looked up to my cousin, and he, you know, he was into skateboarding, so I started skateboarding, he got guitar, so I naturally wanted to start playing the guitar, and basically just copied the finger shapes that I saw him do, and he was one of the founding members of this punk ska band that was pretty popular back in the day called Bamf, and then he, you know, they've had a bunch of members throughout the years, but so I remember going to a bunch of his shows and really being inspired by the whole punk movement and the whole St. Louis scene and stuff like that, and punk music in general. You know, I remember him buying Blink-182 CDs and Newfound Glory CDs and really relating to that music, but also liking it because I could play it, because it was so easy to play that I think that's one of the reasons why I gravitated towards punk, is because, you know, it's just a couple power chords and some riffs and you've got yourself a song. And that's where I started my songwriting. I was in a bunch of different punk bands back in the day. Always was singing and playing guitar in them.
Or some of those bands.
So the first one is a pretty awful name. The first band is called Dingledine, and that's because of the street. That was the street that I lived on at the time. So if anyone's listening out there that remembers Dingledine,
shout out to all the
Dingledine members. And then some of those members stuck around when we got a little bit more serious with it. We called ourselves Left on Empire, and that was the drummer lived on Empire Street, and we would always practice at his house. So we had to turn left to get onto his street. So Left on Empire was the name, and then that kind of fizzled out once everyone parted ways to go to college. I went to different colleges and stuff, and then after that, I was in at Webster. I met some guys. And we started this band called Aubriel Monsters, which I was in for a good 5 years. And there's some music out there from us still floating around on Facebook. And I think we might even have a website still up there. I'm not sure. But yeah. It's been a while.
I guess heavily inspired by the cartoon.
Heavily inspired by, we spelled it differently so we couldn't get sued, but the guitar player Nick Dawes, he always wanted to call a band that he was in Aubriel Monsters, and
sure,
and we needed a name, so yeah, it stuck.
That works, yeah.
Yeah, we fizzled out too. I studied music a little bit in California for a little bit, and then Nick took a job in Texas, and then our drummer was in St. Louis, and like we had some people in Colorado, so we were like this band, but we were all
sure
in different states, so it was kind of difficult.
Yeah. So the stuff you're playing today, we did do some live jamming. I mean, it's not doesn't sound anything like the punk stuff. So
yeah.
So I guess you said when you said you were studying Webster and stuff, was that when you started learning different music and stuff, evolving and things?
Yeah, totally. Went to, really got involved in jazz a lot at Webster, but I would think my taste in music started to change a lot when I moved out to California to study. I went to Musicians Institute in California for like a good 2 years and then ran out of money. So I moved back home. So, but when I was out there, I started really getting into... I went out there for a vocal performance, so it was a rock school, but I was listening to, like, Sam Cooke and all these really old soul singers, Al Green and people like that, and really tried to only listen to, like, soul music out there. But I was still kind of in this punk band, technically, so right. It was, you know... I was having a war with myself, I think, internally, and
Well, I mean, being involved enough with the scene, I mean, a lot of these guys, they all still have those, I've talked to a lot of these guys that have a rock band, have a country band, have a cover band, have, you know, they're all like in several different projects, and they can kind of exercise all those different sides of their personality, to where like, and they still can play the punk shows and play some jazz or whatever, do different stuff and have some fun with it. So
yeah,
so yeah, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can still do it all. So like that's what's fun about it. Like
yeah, totally. And that's a good point, because there's some of these songs on this new EP that I'm putting out there, you know, they have like the song that I just played today, Like You Do, that's definitely like more of a country sounding song. So it's difficult to really put some of these songs in a box, because some of them really do have a distinct sort of genre.
Yeah. Like I said, Like You Do, when you playing it, like I kind of went right, just like you're saying, country, I kind of went back to like almost like a Hank Williams, So Lonesome I Could Cry, like that, just like that real, it's got a real slow tempo to it, and like it just a really smooth song, man. That sounded good.
Totally,
like,
thank you. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular with the story behind that, or what kind of?
So Kara, the amazing background vocalist, we've been dating for a while now, and she just randomly one day, she and I still have it on my fridge, she brought this card over, and this card has a picture of a gnome on it, and it says, "Gnome buddy gets me like you do," or something like that. And, you know, I'm just sitting here throughout my week. I always try to get up early and write music. So I'm sitting here, like, with a blank page in front of me, trying to figure out of a song to, like, a good hook to write. And I look up at this card, and there's, you know, a gnome on it. And so I was like, "Nobody gets me like you do." Like, I'll just take that. And
yeah,
it just kind of stuck, and it worked.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. Like, I mean, obviously, there's the emotional there too, but just like, you never know when inspiration's gonna strike, you know, just like,
yeah,
just be inspired by what's around and things. So
totally, yeah.
This, like I said, beautiful song, you and you two sang very well together. Is this and this would be something you're looking to take to the studio for that EP?
Yeah, definitely. I've kind of got this like whole production in my head of vocals, and maybe not for that song specifically, but definitely some horns on some sections. I think Ask could definitely call for some horns. But yeah, definitely, I definitely want Kara's voice on doing some backup vocals.
Yeah.
on this stuff.
I almost feel like that song, you know, like I said, it kind of embrace that country, maybe even throw some like pedal steel or something.
Totally.
and like, yeah, just like, that would sound cool, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
the shine that I need. Nobody gets me like you do. Nobody gets me like you do. I'm tired of running and searching for the truth. Nobody gets me like you do. Nobody gets me like you do. Tired of running and searching for the truth. Nobody gets me like you do. Nobody gets me like you do. I do.
That's kind of what's fun about too, like in taking it to the studio to be able to do that kind of stuff. I mean, like I said, we're playing here today, stripped down, you know, acoustic, and like, but that's like the playground, you know. When you get in the studio, you can you can get to bring in all kinds of extra players and make some things, make these songs come to life and stuff. So
yeah, I'm so excited. I haven't worked in a studio in probably about 5 years now, at least. So definitely excited to start getting back in there.
Did you record with some of the bands in the past, the punk stuff you were doing?
Yeah. So that was one of the most difficult parts about All Real Monsters, is that we were recording a second album, but we were doing it postal service style, where, like, you know, we all of us had different engineers around us. So we would work with, like, an engineer, and then he would send the WAV files to, like, different engineers. So we were making this thing, but none of us were around each other. So we would have, like, Skype dates and stuff where we'd talk about it, and it was difficult. So I'm excited to, like, actually have people to talk to and be like, no, you know, I think you should do it like this, or change things around, and definitely a lot easier that way.
Right. So this will be the debut as a solo artist then?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where did in the punk bands you were playing guitar with them, and then you has always been guitar
and singing. I was singing too.
You're singing too. Mm-hmm. When were you writing the songs in as well?
We would all bring songs to the table, but usually in All Real Monsters, that is, we would all bring songs in right. The stuff before that I was always writing, but usually my rule is, like, is if you're in one of those collaborative things, unless you have, like, a definite singer in your band, if you write the song, I feel like you should sing it to bring out that emotion in the song. So there were some tunes where, like, the bassist would sing or the other guitarist would sing.
So writing has always been there, was even when you were young and stuff,
it was always been an interest of mine. And to be honest, like, most of the times I think of myself as more of a songwriter than a guitar player, just because it's, you know, it's a very therapeutic process to me. It's not something that I would do regardless of me trying to do it for, like, a living or not, you know.
It's not. I'm a huge singer-songwriter fan. I mean, the lyrics are what, you know, I know some people are more drawn to melodies and things, but in instrumentation, but for me it's always been lyrics, and I connect the story behind songs and everything else, and so that's for me. Like, I love the lyrics to all these songs, but, and I've always, like, been inspired of, like, want to write, but for me, when I sit down to write or think about it, like, it just, everything that comes out is everybody else's songs, you know. It's like I listen to so much music, all these lyrics are in my head, and they're just everything that starts coming out is everybody else's lyrics. So it's like, it's difficult for me to, like, shut off that part of my brain and actually think of my original thoughts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but
like, nothing is an original thought, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, everything's kind of been put out there, you know, but, like, it's so it is difficult, you know. There is only so many words and so many guitar chords and everything else to, you know,
right.
But it's like, but I don't know. So I just, one of these days, I mean, that's kind of a bucket list thing for me, I think, like, to to write and, you know, maybe have somebody else record it for me, because I'm not much of a... I like to think I can sing, like, do karaoke or whatever in the car. I mean, like, on the way over, if you could have seen the performance I put on in the car of Allman Brothers One Way Out, like, I was jamming and having a great time, but I don't know that I would want it recorded and played back, but in my head it sounded really good, so...
Oh, yeah. I would love to see that.
Yeah. So it's cool to hear that... The writing's always been there. I mean, you got your notebook here. I'm guessing there's a lot of ideas that you just kind of scribble in there. And
you know what? It's like most of them, they end up in the trash can. Well, they stay in here, but like the ideas end up in the trash can. Songwriting is, it's to me, I try to think about it exactly as like practicing an instrument. You know, it's like if I stopped practicing certain guitar scales and arpeggios and stuff, then I would forget them and I would get really bad at them. And it's songwriting, it's like so many people think, you know, and I'm not the master of all songwriting, you know, but like but so many people think that like inspiration will just come to them, but it's like I feel like if you open yourself up to that possibility of inspiration coming all the time, then it will come, you know, but you can't just sit around and wait for it. You have to do it every day and make it a habitual thing.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of saying in like Nashville with all those writers down there, like you're gonna write 1,000 bad songs before you write a good one, or some kind of thing like that. Like, you know, it's a lot of just practice, like you're saying, to get it. You know, you have to continue to write and write until finally, like, you become good at it and stuff. So, yeah.
Totally.
So like I said, we did do some live stuff, and you mentioned Ask earlier, and this is another one we performed live today in the living room here. Is what, anything we want to add around Ask? Anything you want to add around that song?
So I'm trying to think. I wrote that song like a long time ago.
Yeah.
The lyrics for it. I had a different guitar. Chords behind it and structure behind it, and I think with like my added knowledge from graduating, you know, with a music degree and stuff, is like I can change all these stuff around and kind of make it work. So I kept the lyrics, but I changed the chords around and stuff. But yeah, the lyrics, it was weird. It's that was one of those songs where like I could not go to sleep, and I was just staring at my ceiling, and I just got out a notebook and just started writing, and I wasn't thinking about anything, and it just came out. Like, I didn't think about the rhyme structure or any of that, any of the words, and it just kind of flowed out. What was happening around in my life at that time is I was going to this school in California. I was home for like, I think, for Christmas break or something. So like, I was home for like 2 weeks. I don't know, you know, anyone who's been in Los Angeles or lived there for a period of time knows how chaotic it is to live there. It's like all these people jammed packed in this, feels like a can, you know, it's like a tuna can or something. It's like they're jam packed in this cell and everything's really dirty. And it's like everyone that you meet seems like they're trying to get something to help themselves, and it's just, yeah, I guess like a lot of that came from my subconscious, and it just kind of flowed out. Yeah.
Yeah.
then you would agree. I swear this shit is never working. For my hand and not for mercy.
So, just L.A. and St. Louis, so like, were two main homes, I guess?
And then, yeah, before I moved back home to St. Louis, I lived with the bassist of Abreu Monster. I lived at his place in Colorado Springs for, like 6 months or something like that.
I can imagine that would be a pretty big change going from St. Charles to L.A. and then be... pretty wild. I've done very little traveling. That's something I do want to do a lot more of. Never been out east or west. I've gone to Florida and Chicago just visiting and stuff. But, St. Louis area has always been home. So
yeah.
It just seems like it's a pretty wild town out there in LA. Like everybody's trying to make it, you know. So that's a whether it's something, you know, music or movies or TV or whatever it is, everybody's trying to chase that dream.
Right.
I think it also can kind of, like you're saying, maybe not directly, but I feel like being around creative people though, like, can help inspire creativity and stuff. Just like you can kind of work together and make something happen. I think that's what's neat about, again, I said Nashville earlier, as a lot of it down there is just like you're surrounded by so many other players and writers and everything mm-hmm. else. I think that's why that Nashville works the way it does and stuff. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, and there's a lot of that too with when I was in California too. I met so many people, not just in music too. It's in, because we all should be working together, people in film and people in film need something to shoot, and musicians need, more publicity to get all that. So it's we all should be working together, and that's how I thought about it going out there. But I guess I just met, I met some great people out there, but I also met some very superficial people, I mm-hmm. think. So it's, and I was also still growing and changing and learning myself too. So I would love to go back and check it out now with some of that knowledge,
You are you have you been playing out much as a solo artist since writing these songs and stuff? I mean, do you do open mics or anything like that?
I've done a couple. I haven't been doing them as much as I should be doing. But the places that I have gone, I've gone to Venice a couple times. Venice Cafe and
with the old Zach Squatch.
Yeah,
his open mic.
Yeah.
Zach Sloan.
Yeah,
good friend of
that
the show.
That guy's great.
Yeah, I love Zach. He's he's hysterical. And, but he writes some of the most sad, depressing songs. It's therapeutic, I'm sure, for him too. Just to get a lot of this stuff out. And we actually did a podcast, me and Zach, at the Boat Bar at Venice, and it was really, one of my favorites to record, because I felt like there was some Zach Squatch, but there was also some real stuff come out from Zach, and we had a nice chat. So it was really interesting to kind of get to get to know a little more about him and not as much of the character that he plays sometimes
on the stage. That's what has made me want to go back to the place, is just his whole personality. Yeah. It's so inviting, and his character in general. So I guess if I'm going, like, I want to play more open mics, so I would I would probably start there.
Well, and it's just a beautiful room too. Like, it's totally. such a cool space. So much. I mean, it's kind of overwhelming at times, the amount of art and everything to look at, and while you're there, and it's like it's just constantly evolving too. So it's a really a neat space. If you haven't been over to Venice yet, you should definitely go check that out. So. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking when we get going and recording and this EP and stuff? Or, I mean, are you looking to put together like a band to play out or somewhere? Are you thinking it's pretty much going to stay just you and guitar a lot of this stuff?
Definitely a band. Mm-hmm. It's been weird trying to book the studio stuff without a band. Mm-hmm. I've never gone about hitting up. Hitting up a drummer and saying like, oh, I can pay you if you need to do this, and then we have to schedule rehearsals and stuff. And it's like, previously it's be like, oh, let's work on these songs that I wrote, where we can be in a band. Right. And so it's kind of like a different sort of mindset mentality about it. But I think it'll be easier to get people to kind of like sign on to the sound that I have once I have this completed like product that sure. I can show people and ask if they want to be a part of.
It seems like there's a ton of great players in town, and a lot of them, like I said, mentioned before, a lot of them play in several different bands, so it's like mm-hmm. and it kind of seems like that's the case a lot of times, is like there's a lot of the same drummer, guitar player, bass player and stuff, but they back different singers, songwriters and stuff, so it's like a lot of them play with a lot of the same kind of groups and stuff, but always a different singer.
Right.
Hopefully you find the right mix of players that want to bring this sound to life and stuff, and mm-hmm. start getting out and playing some more, some live shows and stuff.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I haven't played a show with like a full band behind me in a long time, so mm-hmm. that's something. And I'm just excited to hear these songs come to life too.
Sure.
Yeah.
How many songs do you feel you've written now? Like, you said a lot of them kind of wind up in the trash or whatever kind of thing, but
total or like across my whole songwriting.
Yeah, let's take a guess.
Definitely over a few hundred.
Yeah,
yeah.
And how many you feel like you still have today that are like current, and like are they? I mean, you said that you're looking at about 5 songs for the EP, but you have.
Yeah,
quite a few others that you're.
Yeah. Probably there's probably originally like 10 or 12 songs, but I'm always. That's one awful thing about music school that it does to you. It's like it makes you constantly rework things, and like I don't want to. I've done this in the past with bands before, where I've like recorded something and then like 3 months later I listen to it and I'm like, I really wish I didn't record that, you know, like I don't want to play it and I don't want to listen to it. So it's like, why did I record it? So
right.
I'm trying to do that with going onward, with my songwriting and recording, is being a little bit more selective and save money in the studio and also a little bit of peace of mind. Yeah.
But I don't think you're alone there. I think that's the artist, and I think like all of us are, like constantly evolving. It's like I think that's kind of what's fun about the EP. Sometimes you're writing a full length record or something, and like by the time you get done recording 10, 12 tracks or whatever, like you're kind of already on to the next thing, whatever it is. And it's like, so I think kind of EPs are a cool little like snapshot of what you're doing at the time, like. Like I said, like you might be already sick of this stuff by the time you play it. So it's like, it's nice to be able to, hey, this is what we were doing at that time. Now we can move, doing something different, a different sound or whatever it is. And like, but I think that's like, it just seems like artists are always like that. Like, you're gonna listen to you're always gonna think your new record's the best one, and then you listen back to the old one's, you know, junk or whatever, and it's like, yeah, so, but there's still gonna be people that love that old record and stuff. So
yeah, it's very true.
I mean, even me doing this show, like, obviously you can hear a lot of progression, you know, just as I become more, figure out what the hell I'm doing and stuff too, you know. It's like we're all doing that, we all learn as we're going and stuff, and to figure out, well, that didn't work, let's do it different on the next record and different stuff, like, so
totally, yeah, it's like the process of learning,
right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're always going to be your own worst critic, I think, you know. It's like everybody's always going to hate their own stuff. I mean, I a lot of people that like are afraid to even do interviews or listen back to them because they don't want to hear their own voice and different stuff like that, and it's like, well, that, you know, it's something you have to get used to, it for sure. So
yeah,
but yeah, man, so we're gearing up to record, hopefully, soon, you said?
Yeah, so we're starting to track drums next Thursday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And who are you recording with, you said?
That's going to be with Andy Stevens at Eightfold Studios. Definitely check out Andy Stevens. He's recorded some pretty big, some big players out there. Two Cities, One World.
All right, yeah. Friends of mine.
Yeah, and there's another act. She could definitely go look him up.
Yeah.
Cause he's a good guy to know, and I'm not sure of how much I know he arranges different things and he plays on people's records, but I don't, as a songwriter, I'm not sure what if he does any of that, but
very cool.
Yeah.
And we're looking for a 2018 release, she said, so
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll have some new tunes out there before the end of the year, man. Get and like I said, hopefully we'll be taking these two you heard today to the studio and here. Yep. But are you thinking bringing, you know, you're saying some horns possibly and stuff like that? But is it going to be pretty much acoustic? Are you looking to go electric on some of the stuff?
Definitely going to go electric. Yeah. There might be some acoustic in, you know, holding down the rhythm in the back, but definitely the lead parts. As far as the instrumentation goes, I hear electric guitar, bass, drums, and keys on some, and then horns.
Yeah.
Voices.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. I love that as a fan of music and as in songwriters, like I was saying, like, I love the evolution of a song. I like that it can start on a guitar, you know, just you and your guitar, and then, like, as you, like I was saying, you build that as, like, you add your keys and your background and your horns and all the different stuff, and then just, like, so you have your, like, you know, your original version, and then, like, your as it becomes the produced version on the record and stuff. I just really enjoy that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, and by the end of it, it sounds like completely different than
sure.
Just the script.
And that's the thing, too. Like, it's cool about in the studio, like, he might say, hey, let's play that at this tempo instead. Let's try that, you know, see what, like, just those little tweaks, and, like, it totally changes the song, you know. It's like, so it's interesting to see how that whole process works and stuff, so.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for you. Like, I think that's going to be cool, and I'm sure, you know, it's very, very exciting as your first solo debut and stuff, as, you know, putting your name out there in front and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can, they can follow along on Facebook. We have an artist page for Tom Watkins. You can follow along there and maybe get some sneak peeks inside the studio and different stuff along the way. And
yeah, I plan on doing some promotional videos and stuff with my videographer friend, who's actually going to be my roommate soon, so yeah, that'll work out nicely. Plan on putting some more stuff up on Facebook, and then also I've got a website in the works, so.
Right on. And I noticed you do have a couple of little cell phone videos, you know, like you shot some live stuff, so it's fun to see that you're doing that kind of stuff too. Like, it's just, that's the cool thing about social media today, is that you can kind of, even though you're not out playing shows every week or whatever, like, it's a nice way to still stay engaged with your fans and your friends and stuff like that. Like, you know, throw up a live video every now and then, and what you're working on. So
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, get involved with Tom. Keep an eye out for new music coming soon. And if you like this, tell your friends, pass it along, and
tell all your friends.
Yeah. So, but yeah, man, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you doing this and taking some time out to share some of these songs. And hopefully, we'll do it again here when the record's ready to go, or the EP's ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I would love to be back on again.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.